I want to talk to you today about the fear of the Lord. And people say, what's that? And I hope you don't have to say that by the time we're done. I talked about fighting fear last week. And I thought, this is probably a good time then to talk about the fear of the Lord. So I'm going to go as quickly as I can. But I have 8 pages. You don't. I do. So I'll be as selective as I possibly can. But if I ask around the room, what's the fear of the Lord, we'd get 90 different answers. And 42 of them would be, I really don't know. And I've never really known. And when I say the fear of the Lord, I can hear times that I have been prophetically sung over about the fear of the Lord being on me. And when it was spoken, it was like, yeah, hope I got that right. You know what I mean? I want to see that come to fruition. And it's so significant. The Bible says so much. We can't just do it all in one day. But I'm going to first give you, I'll give you a lead in, okay? Perfect love drives out fear. We talked about that last week. But the fear of the Lord sends love to God and then invites his love to you. So fear is that thing that makes you feel less than, other than, you know, you're intimidated, just can't paralyze sometimes with not able to move or not able to take the choice or not willing to take the risk. The fear of the Lord has everything to do with the opposite of what fear is. So Thomas Brown, no relation, says, I fear God, but I'm not afraid of him. This unknown author, if I was him, I'd put my name on it. He says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's Proverbs 1:7. Happy the soul that's been awed by a view of God's majesty, that has had a vision of God's awful greatness, his ineffable holiness, his perfect righteousness, his irresistible power, and his sovereign grace. In other words, it's about knowing him. And one of the early lessons we learned, it takes God to know God. That's why he draws us. We can't come to us unless we're drawn. Then he births his spirit within us because spiritual things are spiritually discerned. We're born spiritually dead. And so we have to be quickened. That's why being born again, you're alive. You're made alive in your spirit. And now you can begin to know spiritual things. And that's why the fear of the Lord is a spiritual thing. No man acts with true wisdom till he fears God and hopes in his mercy. Thomas Watson says, he that leaves off prayer leaves off the fear of God. That's really significant. Because you can tell people have the fear of the Lord if the only time you pray is at dinner, you know, you might not have the 50,000-foot view of this yet. But to recognize the conversation with him, the connection with him that is prayer, is kind of a proof of it. Jerry Bridges has written a whole bunch of books on holiness. If you see one, pick it up. It's good. If Jesus, in his humanity, delighted in the fear of God, surely we need to give serious thought to cultivating this attitude in our lives. And the first passage of scripture I'm going to give you is the proof of that point. John Calvin says, nothing is more powerful to overcome temptation than the fear of God. Every man ought to just grab that. If you need help in fighting temptation, the fear of the Lord is a wonderful shock absorber. And Thomas Watson says, the fear of God promotes spiritual joy. Now, you don't think about that. When you think about the fear of the Lord, you're thinking more like, oh, my God. You know, God's in his holy place. Well, he is holy in his holy place. But I love what Watson says here. The fear of God promotes spiritual joy. It's the morning star that ushers in the sunlight of comfort. Wow. That's really knowing him. Because the fear of the Lord is associated with the awesome might and power of God. Well, you don't want to fight that. You don't want to be in opposition to that, or there's a reason to be afraid. But the fear of the Lord, he's so awesome, wonderful, magnificent. Then you can see how joy and comfort can come out of that. So, how do I define the fear of the Lord? Well, the fear of the Lord is a reverential awe of God. And you can kind of treat God two ways. Oh, or ah. The awe of the Lord is like, oh, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. You know, that kind of a thing we realize. You are altogether other than I am. It's a reverential fear of God, awe of God, a loving respect of who God is. That's why it's so important to know him the way he really is. A loving respect of who God is. The fear of the Lord is a genuine sincerity of heart to please him in all that we do and all that we say. Now, we're going to the archives. This is from my journal, March 10, 1996. I know some of you weren't born, and I don't like it. Now we can get on with it. But some of these words, I just remembered this, and I went and looked it up. This is pretty good. The fear of the Lord is an invisible boundary of heart, of mind, and of experience. Your affections, your thoughts, your dealings need a sense of direction, limit, or border, and that is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is a flee now so you won't have to pay later proposition. If you perceive evil and hate it, and that's one of the definitions of the fear of the Lord, is to hate evil. If you perceive evil and hate it, then you don't have to deal with ordering it or even having it on your plate, even if it's on the menu and many people around you are buying it. We live in a world where the fear of the Lord is not the greatest and most popular attitude towards life. But you don't have to be like that just because other people are. The fear of the Lord is an attitude or posture, a leaning of heart and mind that enables the inner witness of your spirit to be heard loud and clear. Let me say that again, because this is really significant. The fear of the Lord is an attitude, a posture, a leaning of heart and mind that enables your inner witness of your spirit to be heard loud and clear. The Spirit is to be our guide, our director, to lead us into all truth. Isn't that what the Bible says? If you got too much clamor going on, you can't hear what he's saying. And the fear of the Lord stills that so you can hear the promptings of heart that he is giving. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
And so it's not like he doesn't want us to know and he won't help us, but we've got to be tuned in. And so when that capacity to have your inner voice, your conscience, prompt you and you can get out of trouble, you say, no, remember, it looks like all that glitters is gold, but it's not. And that's evil underneath there. So get away from it. But if you're caught up in the glitter, you might not see that what's behind it isn't good, and you might not run away from it, and it'll get you. I'm not scaring you. I'm just saying that's what it's like. We have to be able to hear the prompting of the Lord, and that's part of what the fear of the Lord does. The fear of the Lord helps us experience real freedom, causing us to know that what we are freed from so much and what we are being freed unto as disciples in a yoke connected to him. The fear of the Lord is a gift of God and a choice of man. So it's a gift from the Lord and it's a personal choice. So which is it? Both. It's both. And when it's a gift, you just receive it. And when it's a choice, you have to choose to make it. So here's what I was referring to on the front page. The fear of the Lord, it's a gift of God. And I think this may be the best passage of Scripture. It's Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 5. I may have prayed this passage more than any passage over the last several years. It's talking, obviously, about, it says, the root of Jesse. He's talking about David. And David is, you know, Jesus is an offspring. Then a shoot will rise, spring up from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Now you can see this. I'll slow down just a little bit. But have you ever read about the sevenfold Spirit of God and wondered what the heck that was? Right here. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, strength, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He's talking about Jesus. This is the anointing. This is the unction that's on his life. It says, he delights in the fear of the Lord. Well, if God delights in something, you might be interested in it. No, really. We should wake up and say, well, I don't even know what that means. I should find out. See, he delights in this reverential love and respect and honor and desire for the life of God. to have the life of God in him and to honor the life of God around him. This is, Jesus said, and I delight in it. So what would Jesus do? It says on the arm, he would delight in the fear of the Lord. You don't ever hear that one. But he delights, the Bible says, in the fear of the Lord. What does that mean? It means he won't just judge by what his eyes see and his ears hear. When you're a person that doesn't know the Lord, over here, born into darkness, it says, born following the path that the enemy has laid out, and the dominion over you gets broken because you get saved, the Spirit of God comes and lives in you, you get transferred out of darkness and into light. You are now free. You no longer have to live as a slave to your five senses. And that's what he's saying here. It's just not what I see and what I hear. There are means of the heart, of the Spirit of God, causing me to see things in a different way, to hear things in a different way, to understand and value things in a different way. That's the fear of the Lord. So he says, I just don't make decisions by what my eyes see or my ears hear, but with righteousness, I'll judge the poor. I'll decide with fairness for the afflicted. He said, he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and the breath of his lips. He will slay the wicked. And righteousness will be a belt around his loins and faithfulness a belt around his waist. I've told this a million times to people, but ladies, if you have daughters or granddaughters, you need to pray for a man that fits this description. We want somebody that lives so righteousness is a belt around his loins and faith is a belt around his waist. You're going to solve a lot of problems if that's the case. It's a great way to pray. If you don't get anything else out of what I say today, and that's impossible, pray this passage. This will help you build a mindset with the fear of the Lord because you begin to value what he values in a different way. You begin to not be willing to be limited to just my five senses. We are chained to our five senses. If you don't believe me, do what all people should do on Sunday. Go home, eat, watch the game, and pay attention to all the advertisements because they'll pull on what you feel or it sounds good or it looks good or I just want to touch that. And that has us. So then we go spend the money to get it so we can taste it and feel it and see it and touch it, right? Well, that's what advertising is based on, those our five senses. You don't want to get jerked around and just live by that. That's proof that maybe the fear of the Lord isn't there. So it really is a gift of God. It's just the that's what he says. This is all coming from me. It's the Spirit of God living in you. But it's also a human choice. It's a personal choice. Joshua 24, verse 14, 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. So in sincerity and truth, that's part of what it's like to have the fear of the Lord. And put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. Now if it's disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, as Prophet Bob Dylan would say, you've got to serve somebody. So decide today whom you will serve, whether the gods that your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So it's a choice. It's a choice. Are there other choices? People give their lives to all sorts of things. I mean, you know, collecting butterflies, collecting stamps. I mean, you know, bass fishing, none of those things are evil or wrong, but if they're the number one thing in your life, you got some switching to do. And I don't know how to say this in the time I have left. You can't let yourself be hooked on a brand of religiosity that didn't work from the people who gave it to you. That wasn't too bad, was it? We can inherit some horrible stuff in the name of the Lord. And he says, so you can worship the stuff that your parents did when they were beyond the river, when they lived over there. But he said, that's pagan stuff. I'm not going to have anything to do with it. Now, I'm not asking you to disrespect anything. I'm saying value and evaluate what you've been taught as the Bible or the Lord. A lot of people don't know who God is. They don't know what he's like, but they'll tell you they do. You know, If you're old enough, I'd say they were R.G. Bunkers, but thank you for the 11 that knew what I was saying. But he said, can you see this? He's saying, you got to trust him above anybody else. And don't just take the history of man, so to speak, or the traditions of the family, because the traditions of the family might not have come from God at all. Right. No, I'm not trying to say go tell your parents. You know, pastor said, you need to go back behind the river. No, I'm not saying that. But you could grow up in a relationship with a religious institution or a religious leader that was off a tick or two. And by now, you're way off if you're off a tick or two when you start. Do you understand what I mean? And so Joshua's saying, you guys pick. Here's what I'm doing. You know, Lord put me in charge. I can't tell you what to do. You're going to do what you want to do. Here's what I'm doing. And this is what you ought to want to do. And so the fear of the Lord, having that as a mentality, having that as a value, is something that you don't have to have shoved down your throat. You get to choose. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. Oh, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. If you're a Christian, he walks among you and he dwells in you. If he doesn't dwell in you, you're not a Christian. Right? That's what it says. If the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he'll give life to your mortal body. So that's where it comes from. And so you can have all sorts of other religiosity nailed up, but if the Spirit of God doesn't live in you, you're not a Christian. That's what he says. So I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. Then he says, therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and don't touch what is unclean. Now, it's not the people that are unclean. It's the stuff they're doing. It's the absence of the fear of the Lord in their life that causes them to do anything. The Bible says, where there is no king, everybody does what's right in their own eyes. Do you want to get everything that everybody thinks is right poured on you? I don't. There's a lot of weirdos out there. I mean, come on. And so he's saying, come apart from them. Don't allow yourself to be dictated to by non-biblical principles. Don't allow yourself to be dictated to by non-biblical people. Now, but my boss is like that. You can do it from 9 to 5. You have to. It's his work, but you don't have to accept his values. You just have to do things that he wants you to do, right? And then he makes some pretty good promises. He says this, and if I live in you and move among you, I will welcome you. I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Wow, that's pretty strong, isn't it? He said, I'll be a father to you. I don't know about you. I needed that. And I found that. Rather, he found me. I'll never forget the day, because my dad was a rough, tough alcoholic dude, and not very kind. And I had a discussion with my wife, and she said, you're acting just like your dad. And I said, you've never seen me mad. I don't get mad very often. I got really mad. But when I did, it's like I got kicked in the stomach. And I went right to my knees, and I heard from heaven. And real quickly, he just said, there's two bloodlines. One runs to Iowa. One runs to heaven. Two fathers, you get to pick. And I said, I'm in. And I started to change. I didn't like wake up and whoo, but I started to change because this passage of scripture, which I didn't know existed at the time. I mean, I was saved, but I didn't know what I was doing. I said, I'll be a father to you. I said, cool. I'll take it. And this is how it'll work. Now, so he says, I'll be a father to you. You'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And then there's a chapter ending. But that's not how it really goes. So the first verse of chapter 7, this is the last verse of chapter 6 in 2 Corinthians. First verse in 2 Corinthians 7 says this, therefore, having these promises. Well, what promises are those? I'll welcome you, I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters. Therefore, since you have those promises, let us cleanse ourselves. Oh, that means we're doing it. Do you see that? Didn't I remember mention that it was a decision? The other times, he just goes over you like a wave, man. Right? Thank you so much. And I was at mile marker 8, and now I'm at mile marker 12, and I have no idea how I got there, and I don't care. He just does. That's the grace of God. But he says here, because you got these promises now, I'll be your father. You be my kids, says the Almighty. You know what? That's where all the might is, in the Almighty. And he said, cleanse yourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, completing or perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. The Weiss translation says it this way. Let us cleanse ourselves from all contamination, progressively accomplishing holiness in the fear of the Lord. Isn't that good? Progressively accomplishing holiness. And I know when I got saved, I didn't even pay attention to the holiness stuff. I thought, I'll never get there, but I know I'm in the kingdom. We'll just have to work on that. Yeah. Holiness is like, well, he is holy, right? You know who lives in you? The Holy Spirit. So you got a shot at holiness. And he gave you real help. Isn't that wonderful? Because he sees us W-H-O-L-L-Y-H-O-L-Y already. Now, my behavior doesn't prove that out, but who lives in me does. Right? So, and by the way, the Lord created you human. Did you know that? So quit beating yourself up about being human. He doesn't. But he does want us to live by the fear of the Lord. So he said, progressively. So I don't have time to take you to Ephesians 5, but he says, listen, you're children of light, so walk in the light, trying to learn what's pleasing to the Lord. I love that verse. And I said, I'm not very good at it. And he said, well, but that pleases me that you're trying to learn. I'm trying to learn what's pleasing the Lord, and what's pleasing the Lord is that I'm trying to learn. I thought, thanks. I mean, that just takes the weight off you a little bit and say, okay, now I can't go mess up all the time and say, oh, cleanse me, Lord. Sure, you can ask him to do that, and of course he does. But he's saying, you cleanse yourself. If you know there's rust in that can, you're not going to drink water out of it. So that's cleansing yourself, refusing to take in what you know is defiling. All right? I never forget I had a... Anyway, I didn't forget, so I got to say it. I was going to go see a movie, and I don't even remember. This is way, way back. And some guy that I knew, I don't even remember who it was now, said, you can't go see that movie. I said, I promised my wife we would. I don't remember what it was. It doesn't matter. And he said, does the Spirit of God live in you? And I said, well, yeah. He said, he won't go in there with you. I said, well, yes, he will. He might make me feel real bad about going in there. But I said, it wasn't a dirty movie. We wouldn't have gone. But this guy said, you can't go to that theater. I said, it's a theater, dude. But anyway, we just forget it. I knew he was wrong when he said theater. He said, you can't go in there. The Holy Spirit won't go in there with you. I said, oh, do you know that the Bible says don't join yourself to a prostitute because you're joining the body of Christ? He just looked at me. I said, it says it. Read it. It's not a promise that you should. It's that, don't you understand? I will never leave you or forsake you. Wow. And I'll keep you out of that stuff if you let me. But you've got to make some choices too. But that's why I said, I'll be your father. You know what fathers do? Well, one of the things they do is say, you know, that's really good. But that wasn't. So good for you on that one. No gold star on the other one, pal. Wake up. Right? And so they provide discipline. Why? Because you signed up to be a disciple. And I want to know where I'm off. I don't always want to make the change, but I want to know where I'm off. And that's the fear of the Lord prompting you. Man, do you see that? No, if I did, I wouldn't have done it. He said, flee. It's evil. It doesn't look evil to me. I said, flee, it's evil. Okay, I don't think you're going to tell me again. You know, you understand what I'm saying? And that's not the audible voice. It's this knowing and your knower. You need, I'm getting nudged this way. I don't know why, but I'm not getting nudged that way, so I'm going this way. And pretty soon you pick up the lingo a little better. And you don't have to have sky riding. Because he said, remember I told you I'd be your father. Right? So that's relating to him as father is part of the fear of the Lord. I love this. I got to keep going here. Acts chapter 10, first five verses. You know the story. This is Peter and Cornelius. Now there was a man, verse 1 of Acts 10, at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion, which means he oversaw 100 soldiers, of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man, one who feared God with all his household and gave alms, offerings, to Jewish people and prayed to God continually. But he wasn't Jewish, so he's an outsider. And about the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw a vision of an angel of God who just come in and said, Cornelius, he's calling him by name. This guy's not, he's not a Christian yet. And he's having an angel come and call him by his name. You think that angels couldn't do that for you? Well, fixing his gaze on him, he said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. I've seen and heard what you're doing. Now, dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who's also called Peter. And Peter comes and boom, they all get filled with the Spirit and get saved. And Peter doesn't know what to do. While he was preaching, I love that. Peter said, well, while I was preaching, these guys get saved and start speaking in tongues. And I was done. He didn't wait for the last close. So it's a choice of man. In the old days, men like Cornelius, though they were not Jews, but they worshiped the Lord, and the Jews referred to them as the God-fearers. Isn't that cool? Would that I had that reputation that people would say, that's a God-fearing man. Right? And they hadn't been saved yet. Now, things were on the table, but they were going to happen, but they didn't. So the Lord, being a good father, he makes the fear of the Lord kind of a blessed requirement. This is Deuteronomy 10, verse 12, 13. Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you? This is good to know. But to fear the Lord your God, walk in his ways, love him, serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, keep his commandments and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today for your good. Just do this stuff I'm telling you because it's all for your good. Recognizing, having the fear of the Lord, you can realize that this doesn't feel good, but I know it's from the Lord, so it's going to turn out good. It seems against me. No, he's for you so much, he's going to show you how not to be for the things that you used to be for that aren't good for you. Does that make sense? And so he's saying, recognize that what I'm saying is directive and maybe corrective, but not punitive, because you know he's your father. Yeah. And so being directed and corrected is a good thing. It's what a father, a coach, a leader will do sometimes. Man, that was really good, but you really need to do it this way. I'm over here. Come on. You're over there trying to get me where you are. I'm saying, good for you. You want me to be where you are. But I'm over here. Haven't you ever had that experience where, and you can just keep doing it over there all the time. Paul wanted to go where he wanted to go. Let's put it that way. I don't have a long time to tell the story. And he wakes him up finally after three times. I'm going to go back over here. That's where I had success. I was going over here. We had great miracles and stuff happen. I want to go back over here. And the little girl puts him in a dream and said, I want you to go over here, which happened to be Europe. Thank God. And, right? Yeah. And he sees a guy. When he gets there, it turns out to be a lady. He was close. Bad eyesight, I guess. But anyway, he got him where he wanted to go, even though Paul was bent on doing this. Why? Because his motive was right. And the fear of the Lord is that motive of wanting to hear and please the Lord. And so it's a requirement. Why? Because he's what's good for us. It's the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Oh, see, I need wisdom and instruction. I always feel like it's correction. I don't know how about you. Do you respond well to correction? Well, come up here. I'll correct you and we'll find out. No, I don't either. But wisdom and understanding, yes, very much so. And he said, it's the beginning of it. What does he mean, the beginning of it? It's the opening of the door. Fear of the Lord, this attitude, this disposition towards God, this reverential awe and respect of God is how you start to learn wisdom and knowledge. It requires that. Man, I got a whole bunch more. But I'm going to give you this last one, and then we'll see where we go. From Proverbs chapter 8. Well, we touched on this, but I'm going to. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverted mouth I hate. The perverted mouth I hate. By the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. This is Proverbs 16, verse 6. So the evil thing, the wickedness thing, just don't mess with it. He says, run the other direction. That's really what it means. When you see something evil, go the other direction. Well, I got to go over and figure out what it is. Uh-uh, run the other direction. Now, can I ask you? Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the day of my life. If I'm pursuing evil, you're going the wrong direction. They're going that way. Are you with me? So do I want to understand evil better, or do I want to stay in this path where goodness and mercy will just overcome me? Come on, guys. You just turn around and you see goodness and mercy following you, you know you're doing the right thing. But sometimes you think, well, I got to know about that so we can fight it. No, no, no. Come over here. Right? I don't have to know that I'm in a pasture and there's a meadow muffin over there. I don't need to know any more about it than that because I know what it is. And to pursue and to gain more information is just going to make me more like the meadow muffin. Am I good? But well, what in the world's that? Oh, that's what that is. I tried to keep you from going over there. Now you got to clean it up. Cleanse yourself from all defilement of flesh and spirit. Yeah, you guys are too holy, I can't. But. Proverbs 28:14. How blessed is a man who fears always. Now get this. But he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. The fear of the Lord is the exact opposite of a hardened heart. To me, this may give the most understanding. What's a hard heart like? Well, I don't know. I don't care. I don't want to look in. I'm stubborn. I'm always got to be right. I don't care if you're hurting. I'm not going to give anything because it's my money. That's a hard heart, isn't it? Well, what's the fear of the Lord? Brother, what's wrong? You know, Lord, what would you have me do in this situation? How can I display what's in your heart to them in this moment? Are you following me? So what's the fear of the Lord? It's the opposite of a hard heart. Just think of a hard-hearted person you know. Don't look at me. I'm serious. Think about somebody that's mean, Scrooge-like, you know? That's not the fear of the Lord. In fact, he says it's the exact opposite of the fear of the Lord. So it's an open heart. It's a heart that cares. It's a heart that isn't afraid to say, I'm not really sure I know, but I'll try to find out. It's not trying to always lord your opinion over someone, you know? Hard-hearted people, by God, it's my way or the highway. I'll take the gravel road. I'm not going your way. But I think this is, if you can get a hold of this one, you'll get the whole deal. So what's the fear of the Lord? It's this reverential, he is who he says he is. You know, I'll never forget one day I'm struggling with something and I just said, I don't understand. I mean, I was gripping my hands. I was in the church praying, which is what you should do, of course, and by myself. And Lord just kind of like he tapped me on the shoulder. And I'm always praying the Bible. I mean, a lot of times. And so the Lord just said, where is it written, thou shalt understand? Just like that. And I said, oh. You're like, holy concordance, Batman, you got me. And I said, he said, don't try to force yourself to have something I haven't given you. Oh, and I said, so you're telling me if I needed to understand, I'd understand. Mm. And then he said, it is written, my thoughts are above your thoughts. And I thought, you got me twice, I quit. But see, the fear of the Lord says, oh, it's more important that I'm rightly related to you then I know everything I think I need to know. Huh? And you know what? That just melted away. I forgot I cared about it. And a couple weeks later, I knew exactly what I was supposed to do. That was probably going to happen anyway, but fathers will take teaching opportunities. And he did. Fear of the Lord is not having a hard heart and refusing to cooperate with things that cause you to have one. Is that okay? I got a whole bunch more. Maybe we'll do this again the next time. Because it's important. Jesus delighted in the fear of the Lord. If he takes delight in it, wow, then that's something to shoot for. And you can't take delight in something you don't know about. Am I right? So, let's do this. Could you just hold your hands up like this if you can? Lord, I pray that you would give us an intimate understanding of the fear of the Lord. Would you cause your presence to rest upon us? As it says in Isaiah 11, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Oh Lord, would you cause the fear of God, that reverential awe of God, that interior border that prompts us to know which way to go. Would you cause that to become an understood and delighted upon truth? It says that Jesus would delight in the fear of the Lord, and I pray that you would bring us to that same point, that we would delight in that which delights you. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord, I want to pray for anyone here who's ever been accused of being hard-hearted. And I want to say, today, Spirit of the living God, would you heal that heart? It says, Lord, in Psalm 86, unite my heart to fear your name, and then I will worship you with my whole heart. Lord, we want to be wholehearted. Unite our hearts. Drive away the things that may have caused us to be callous or hard-hearted. And open us to the wonder of who you are. And allow us to be governed by that invitation that says, I will be in you. I will move among you. I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Almighty One. Release the gift of the fear of the Lord so we can more wisely and consistently make the choice of fearing the Lord. We talked about today being a corner-turning, page-turning moment in life. And I pray that that sense, that unction of the fear of the Lord will be a fresh start for each of us and all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.